Welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by Gulf Shore Playhouse, changing lives through exceptional theater experiences and building a 44,000-square-foot performing arts center in downtown Naples. You can find out more and get tickets to some great performances by visiting the website gulfshoreplayhouse.org. Coming up, we're going to visit with John Mildemore, the editor-at-large of the fee.org. Right now, we have with us Mark Shulman. Mark is the founder and publisher of a terrific multimedia website. It's called HistoryCentral.com. We're going to be talking about current global events. Mark, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Always a pleasure, Bob.
Thank you, Mark. Well, let our listeners know that you are in Tel Aviv right now. And on a personal note, how's it going?
Okay. I mean, this is not the first time I've been in a city under missile attack. This is probably my third go-around.
Wow.
Basically in Tel Aviv, you're safe because the Iron Dome is pretty effective at this distance. But still, when you're outside, you have to run somewhere. I've been outside and run into a parking lot. There are other places because you never know. You know, that 10% of the time when it's not effective, you don't want to be under one.
So absolutely.
It's a lot of, and of course, you have a country that's, I won't say depressed is the right word, but some version therein. Everyone is very determined. Everyone is very depressed. And the streets of Tel Aviv are mostly a ghost town. So many of the people have gone into reserve duty. And, you know, restaurants are empty, bars are empty, all those sort of things just not taking place.
Yeah.
So,
such a sad situation
altogether.
Just didn't need to happen, unfortunately. So, right now we've got conflicts with Israel. I guess it's preparing now to go into Gaza Strip. We've got Hezbollah on the north and Hamas on the south. Just love to get your thoughts.
Sure. So, at the moment, Israel's getting ready for a ground assault on Gaza. For the past 10 years, there have been small little, call them wars, whatever you want to call them, with Hamas. The Israeli government, particularly those led by Netanyahu, have believed we could find some sort of a way of living with Hamas. The mm-hmm. realization now is that there's no way that we could have a border with Hamas, an active terrorist group, controlling the Gaza Strip. So the war aims at this point are to remove Hamas from power completely and basically capture or kill all of its leaders. The scenes and the information that's come out of their attack from last Saturday, the more we learn, the more horrific it turns out to be. The problem is you can't do it from the air. Eventually you have to go in with ground troops, and Israel has probably 150,000 troops now massed along the Gaza Strip border. It wants to do it carefully. The attempt is to get all of the people in the northern part of the Strip to move to the south, so that there are no civilians caught in the middle. Hamas is trying to stop them from moving, so they haven't all moved yet. So Israel is moving slowly, but we'll move in with ground troops, I would say, sometime in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
There's talk of President Biden coming here this week. It's not clear that's going to happen. He's probably the most popular president in American history here in Israel at the moment.
Wow.
His speech went over very, very well in his first speech he gave. Went over very, very well, and the fact that there are two U.S. aircraft carriers off the coast to deter Iran is also much appreciated. So people are saying he should be the Prime Minister of Israel and not Netanyahu, which is a complete 180 from what people were saying with Netanyahu should be the President of the United States. So,
well, you can have him. Take him. So, Mark, the complicating factors, Egypt has taken a position they may have just changed their position according to this morning, but that they're not willing to allow people from Gaza to come into Egypt unless they have a foreign passport.
Right. They don't want these refugees. Look, this is the story of the Gaza Strip from the very beginning of its history. In other words, Gaza was a small little town with maybe 40,000 people before 1948. During the 1948 war, refugees were created when the Arabs refused to accept the partition plan and a war ensued. The refugees in Egypt, and as a matter of fact, the refugees in every place, were never allowed to settle anywhere else. You know, they passed a special United Nations Refugee Commission charter calls for the resettlement, if it's possible to repatriate people to their homes, and if it's not possible to resettle them in new homes.
Uh-huh.
They passed a special version of that for the Palestinians that doesn't include resettling them in new homes. So the Gaza Strip is basically full of people, descendants of people at this point, descendants of descendants, who left on their own volition, and some of them were forced out in 1948, and no one has been willing to settle them, and the Egyptians particularly have not been willing to settle them in Egypt. Egypt's a country of 81 million. Clearly, you know, it has its own issues, but I'm sure the world would be happy to finance the settlement of these people in Egypt, but that's not going to happen. So in some ways, that's the story of the tragic story of Gaza, really.
Yeah. So where do the Gazans go then? They if they can't go to Egypt?
Well, the goal right now is to move them to move them to the southern, let's say, half of the Gaza Strip. Most of the military equipment and military activities of the Hamas is taking place in the northern half, and the idea is to move them to the southern half and then conquer the northern half in a calculated ground assault. That's the plan. Again, you know, war and plans don't always go together very well. So you plan, and then you have to improvise if things go sideways or things change.
Yeah. It's so sad and so interesting that it's just an incredible tragedy that this all had to happen.
Hamas has been, you know, that's the thing about it. It's a very sad, but, you know, Hamas has always telegraphed that its primary purpose in life is to resist and eventually to replace the state of Israel with an Islamic state. They've never made they've never hidden that as their ambition. People thought that they'd become more pragmatic, but that was all a cover for their planning. This attack took place last Saturday.
Now, what about Iran and their involvement in this?
That's a big question, obviously. Iran certainly helped finance Hamas. They more directly financed the Hezbollah. The Hezbollah is the Shiite militia that, to a large extent, runs Lebanon. The Hezbollah has an estimated 100,000 or more missiles aimed at Israel, so something that Israel is not looking forward to having to deal with. That's more than probably Iron Dome can handle. There are some reports, and I don't know whether it's true or not, that the experimental system that Israel was planning to deploy, a laser defense system, has actually been deployed. And, of course, that would change things considerably.
Mm.
The reality is that no one really wants another front in the north. The question is, once Israel starts moving into the Gaza Strip, if the Hamas looks like it's going to lose power, will the Iranians sit still and allow them to lose power? And that's the big question. There's no question that the United States has made it clear that it's not really likely to intervene in terms of the Hezbollah, but if the Iranians directly intervene, then the United States has made it clear that it would take action against the Iranians if they decided to intervene. And I think the Republican head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee said last night that we have to be ready to pass the War Powers Act if that was to take place.
Early in our discussion, you said something that caught my attention and wanted to follow up on it. You'd mentioned that Israel wants to take out the leadership of Hamas. Again, my assumption was they wanted to just take out any soldier that was with Hamas. Can you comment?
Well, obviously, look, they'll go after any soldier, but clearly the most important people are the leadership.
Yeah.
And also anyone who took part in the attacks and killings of civilians in the area around Gaza. I mean, a little bit of history. After the horrific attack on the Munich Olympics in 1972, Israel vowed that every single one of the people who participated would be found and executed, and they did so.
Yeah.
For the next 5 years, Israel hunted down every single participant, and every single one of them was killed. So Israel sort of made a similar threat this time. So we'll see. I mean, but the most important thing is to end their control of Gaza Strip. Now, the big question is, what happens next, right? Who takes over? You know, vacuums are always filled. There are various discussions of the Palestinian Authority, a UN force, an Egyptian and Saudi force. There are various things that are being mentioned, but so far nothing has developed yet. There'll have to be something. Israel has no intentions of reoccupying the Gaza Strip and providing for and, you know, directly ruling over the people there.
Thank you for that, Mark. So one other, apparently Israel bombed air bases or airports or runways
in Syria.
In Syria.
Israel's been having an ongoing quiet war in Syria over the last 2 years, basically to interdict Iranian arms that have been going to Hezbollah in Lebanon. And from what I understand, there was a planned shipment of air shipment of arms to Syria as a waypoint for those arms. And what Israel did was take out the... I mean, okay, it's never officially been reported, but pretty much the foreign press has all stated it. Israel has taken out the runways of both Damascus International Airport and the airport, the international airport in Halab, Homs in Syria, to stop them from using it.
So,
that's part of it. Also, I should...
Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was also going to mention that for the last 2 days there have been incidents on the northern border with Lebanon by Hezbollah. They've killed a number of Israelis using anti-tank weapons that they fired directly at groups of people. And two soldiers and a civilian were killed yesterday in their attacks. If this was not the middle of the Gaza war, Israel probably would have responded very strongly. Instead, it gave a minor response, so to speak, because Israel's not interested in a second front at the same time it's fighting the war in Gaza.
Well, this is capable of it.
They've called enough people up to reserve duty, but it's something no one wants to do.
Absolutely. Well, this is the concern, is that it could have spread to a wider conflict involving the entire Middle East, inevitably. So I wish we had more time to discuss this. We need to take a little break. Mark, can you stick around?
Absolutely, Bob.
All right, we're going to have more here on The Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of The Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Are you looking to buy or sell a home? Make it a convenient and stress-free experience by calling the dynamic and trustworthy husband and wife team of Megan and Matt Chionis with Gulf Coast International Properties. Find out about their unique and complimentary post-closing concierge services not offered by other area agents. Matt and Megan Chionis give you the competitive advantage to command a premium price for your property. They personally attend all showings, create a marketing strategy for your property, and offer that complimentary concierge service to your potential buyer. This hands-on approach has helped them set several sales records in Pelican Bay and many at near-record prices. Megan and Matt Chionis understand that as an affluent buyer-seller, your needs and desires are unique. You deserve this level of service. Megan and Matt Chionis are passionate about the Naples lifestyle and they want you to enjoy it too. Call Megan and Matt Chionis with Gulf Coast International Properties at 239-269-5310. That's 239-269-5310.
You have questions about your retirement? Ameriprise Private Wealth Advisor Jason Nardella with Nardella Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call Nardella Financial Group today at 239-325-1041. That's 239-325-1041. Office is located at 9015 Stratistel Court, Suite 103, Naples, Florida. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by the Foundation for Government Accountability. They get the politics and know the policy. They help prepare elected officials to prepare for the legislatures. You can find out more by visiting the website vfga.org, vfga.org. We continue the conversation with Mark Shulman, the founder and publisher of HistoryCentral.com. Mark, again, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure as always.
Oh, some big election results around the globe. Let's start off with New Zealand.
Right. So New Zealand, the Conservative Party has ousted the Labour Party, has been in power for the last 6 years. It seems that the overall issue was the economy and also the fact that the Labour Party promised to make substantial changes and really didn't. So the new Prime Minister, I guess, of New Zealand is going to be the former head of Air New Zealand, a businessman, and someone who has promised to make those economic changes to, you know, restructure the country a little bit in a more, I'll call it conservative. I don't know anymore whether conservative and liberal actually explains things. But yes, the conservative parties have won the election.
Yeah, interesting. The previous prime minister basically said, you know, like, I've hit a wall, I'm done.
She quit. She quit. She was a very dynamic woman, but she had enough. She had a family, and she decided that she had done enough. So, yes.
You know what?
There's a prime minister in between, by the way.
So. I found her announcement to be refreshing, to hear somebody actually say the truth about that. But.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely the fact. I think we can all think of dozens of politicians in different places, certainly in the United States, certainly in Israel, and other places where we'd like them to say, you know what, at 70, 75, it's time for me to retire, and I'll move on to something else. She was in the 30s, though, so obviously that was a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the fact of the matter is that politics doesn't have to be something you do forever.
Absolutely. Poland results, what are your thoughts?
Poland results are really, I mean, for those who believe in democracy, are really a positive result. The party that's been in power, that has really weakened the judiciary, taken over all of the press with the exception of one television station, looks like it has lost power to a coalition government made up of the other parties. I don't think we'll see a lot of change in the foreign policy. Will remain pretty much the same, but on domestic affairs and judiciary and all of those things, and also certain areas around abortion and those matters, there'll be clearly a change. I have a friend in Poland, in Lodz, and he told me that yesterday, for the first time he ever went to an election, he had to wait online. That's how large the turnout was.
Hmm.
So it looks like the people have spoken. The conservative government had support mostly from the rural areas. Almost all the cities were overwhelmingly opposed to the current government. So let's just hope they go out peacefully and don't pull a Trump. So we'll hope for the best.
So kind of interesting. What's sucked all the oxygen out of the air is the news that's happened around the world. Things we've already discussed, we've conspicuously absent in the discussion, is what's happening in Ukraine. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the only reason we haven't discussed Ukraine is there isn't a lot of change. The Russians tried an offensive area in more the northern area of their border with Ukraine. It was a mistake on their part. They lost almost all the troops who participated in the assault. Clearly, we've learned one thing very clearly, is that defense is easier than offense. And so while the Ukrainians continue to make incremental, and I repeat, incremental progress on their offensive, they do very well on the defensive. And so it doesn't seem to have been anything that has shifted that will change the balance for the moment. The only thing we should keep in mind is there are additional reports of the North Koreans providing the Russians with armaments, which, of course, violates the sanctions on North Korea, but who cares, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah.
So only the Russians don't care. So the Russians just can't produce enough ammunition and other products. The North Koreans have stock because of all the years of waiting for a war with the South, or waiting to start a war, I should say. It's unclear what condition a lot of this armament is, and certainly it's not state-of-the-art. So they're getting old North Korean weapons and ammunition. We'll have to see if it has any effect, but it probably won't. So
interesting. We've got the onset of winter coming. Is that going to have an impact on the theater of operations?
A little bit, but I don't think it's going to have the same effect the first time, because let's put it this way: everyone knows winter's coming.
Yeah.
And so it's one thing when you have winter and you know you weren't ready for a war and you weren't ready. I think the Ukrainians for sure are being equipped for fighting in winter. It slows things down, obviously, but that's all it can do.
Mark Shulman again, founder and publisher of History.
Those, by the way, are air raids in different parts of the country that go off on my phone all the time.
Oh, interesting.
So if you hear those beeping, that means the missile strikes by Hamas on, right now, it's southern Israel. So.
Well, I just hope that you and your family and friends and neighbors remain safe to this escalated these attacks. So. Again, thank
you so
much for joining us here on the show. Again, historycentral.com is the name of the website. I hope you check it out. Thank you again, Mark, for joining us here on the show.
My pleasure.
Okay, coming up, we're going to be visiting with John Mildemore. He is the editor-at-large of fee.org. That and more right here on The Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
tuned for more of the Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.